Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Bobby Mo Football Show. I'm your humble host, Sam Anthony, and joining me today in the Army Radio Studio is Michael Shuley.
Hello, hello, hello. Thanks for having me on again, Sam. And let's not waste any time. Let's jump into it. We got a lot of good Robert Morris football stuff to talk about.
Good may not be the word you want to use for last week's matchup against James Madison. For those of you that don't know what happened, Robert Morris suffered what would be the worst loss in Robert Morris football history, falling 73-7.
Hey, man, history is made every day.
I mean, you're right. Some history is good, some history is bad, but all we know is that it'll be sitting in the record books. Robert Morris absolutely dominated by the James Madison Dukes, who put up 667 total yards of offense, whereas Robert Morris saw three different quarterbacks. The most yards from a quarterback were from George Martin, who had went one for two for 33 yards and an interception. That was their best passer.
I mean, he completed them both.
You're right. You're right. So, you know, you got to give George Martin credit. Actually, I give George Martin a lot of credit because he's been in for three drives this season, and two of which were scoring drives.
Hey, man, whatever gets it done. One thing that I do like that came out of this game, though, is our boy Stevens finally got on the board for his first touchdown as a Colonial since coming over from Bowling Green. So good for him from that front. That was one of the things that I touched upon in my Shuley Shock Picks article was the Robert Morris running backs had yet to score a touchdown. Matt Barr had one and Jimmy Walker had one coming into the game, but no one on that running Stevens didn't have one, and neither did the freshman, correct? Elijah Jackson.
Kendall Rogers Jr., the graduate transfer from Albany. I like the shameless plug for Shuley Shockers, which you can read on armycentralmedia.com for all of our football coverage. But even without the touchdowns, Mike, I've been impressed by this running back play, because if you're looking between the two running backs, between Elijah Jackson and Terrence Stevens, 193 yards for Stevens, 148 yards for Jackson, and about 4 yards per carry between the two of them. Terrence Stevens with 4.1 yards per carry and Elijah Jackson with 3.9. I mean, they're doing well when they get the ball. They're not necessarily exploding for big runs. Jackson's longest run is 21, Stevens is 19. But when they're getting the ball, they're making the most of it, and they're moving the ball forward.
Absolutely. One of the big things you touched upon there is I don't think either of the running backs are a home run hitter. You're not going to have them bust out those long touchdown runs. But at 4 yards a carry, that steady offensive flow and production, they're probably averaging, especially Stevenson, probably around like somewhere 80 yards a game, somewhere in there. So he's doing pretty well. But it's the rest of the offense needs to, or the passing game. We saw it in Dayton. The passing game was good. And another problem might be is they've kind of been behind or in an ugly game. That Virginia State game is one in particular where it was a close game, but it was real ugly out. So it was kind of like one of those games where you just got to grind it out. But Dayton, they were behind. JMU, I think they just kind of showed up and were like, we're going to do whatever we want, regardless of whether that's going to work out or not.
Yeah, and you know what? Let's get an understanding of the team that Robert Morris was facing, James Madison. James Madison, again, they went to the national championship last year, lost to North Dakota State, who that year had defeated Robert Morris 56-0 earlier in the year. James Madison is a nationally ranked team. They get significantly better recruits than Robert Morris. They're in a significantly better conference. This matchup it was what we thought it was. It was shocking that Robert Morris lost by so much, but it was going to be a significant margin. Do you agree with me on that?
Yeah, and even we're on record last week. I said it was going to be, 42-14, and you said that was generous and said, 56-7 or something of those sorts. Did I expect it to be what it was, the 73-7? No way, but am I surprised by this? No. And James Madison was also a team that hung in there with NC State, an FBS opponent, and that was a close game. They ended up losing that game. But, yeah, James Madison, certainly from a talent perspective, is a much more talented team. The result was expected.
Yeah. And, look at their quarterback. Ben DiNucci is a transfer from the University of Pittsburgh. He was a guy that was on a roster of a team in the, I believe they're in the ACC now. Yeah, yes. The ACC. So they were a Power 5 school, and Ben DiNucci looked phenomenal. In that time that he did play, he played the whole first half, put him up 51-0. I mean, at one point he dodged about 7 or 8 Robert Morris defenders to scramble into the end zone. It was, I mean, there was nothing that Robert Morris really could do to stop them. They were oversized and outmatched. I think
that is the most disturbing part, is that run really sticks out in my mind, is this just isn't a James Madison problem that we've seen with this defense. It's kind of been an overarching problem. We saw it in Dayton a little bit more against Virginia State. Certainly Virginia State isn't the type of pedigree of an opponent as Dayton or James Madison, but the tackling, I think, has been fairly poor from the defense.
Yeah.
Especially the secondary.
I would agree with that, too. Two people that have really stepped it up since they were – both Amir Fenwick and Adam Wallet had a relatively quiet week one against Dayton. Since then, both of them have had double-digit tackles in both games, which is huge. They need those guys to step up to make that play, because Adam Wallet, he's going to be the guy you're looking to make that big tackle to – interrupt a play. Amir Fenwick winning those battles at the line, that's huge. But you're right, nobody in that secondary has really stepped up. You watched Duval Brown get burned all game against Ben DiNucci in that passing offense. It seemed like there was nothing they could do to make those stops, because that's why they had those big runs. James Madison, they had 6 rushing touchdowns, and a lot of that was due to the fact that once that running back got to the secondary wasn't able to tackle them and prevent that big run. And so once you got past the line, it was almost like, you know, free game.
Yeah, I mean, that's Fenwick's job. His job is to go in there. He's to soak up the blockers. He's a bigger guy as your tackle or defensive tackle. He's to go in there and really absorb those guys. And if he could grab a tackle, that's great. But those second level guys, the linebackers, and Wallace, a good example, the stepping up and grabbing those tackles. However, you need someone in the secondary, whether it's your strong safety or your free safety, to step up and make that tackle and really aid in run support. And so far this season, they've been getting absolutely slaughtered on the ground. I think they gave up, what, like 270-something to Dayton, 260-something to VSU, and God only knows how many rushing yards. I don't have the number in front of me at the moment against JMU, but I'm assuming it was more than both of those games.
So let's talk about the defense for a moment, because I'm going to run some numbers by you to give you and the audience a little perspective on how much this defense is struggling. And again, I want to, you know, let everyone know that these numbers are a little bit inflated because they played James Madison. You have to put that into consideration, that the rest of the teams in the Northeast Conference have not played. Duquesne has played UMass. I would say that's the one comparable. But besides that, they haven't played teams like James Madison. So Robert Morris.
Duquesne also played Dayton this weekend and pulled away with a victory.
And Hawaii. Actually,
they beat Hawaii as well.
They did not beat Hawaii. They played Hawaii though.
Oh,
that would have been very notable if they beat
exactly.
Hawaii.
Exactly. Lucky them. They went to Hawaii.
Yeah. So, but that's an important thing to note, is that a team like Duquesne has played those marquee teams, and Duquesne's numbers are still not nearly as bad as Robert Morris's. So Robert Morris average lets up 47 points per game. Their defense allows 525 yards per game, which in comparison, Sacred Heart has allowed just 215.5 yards per game. That's the best defense. In terms of rushing defense, Robert Morris has let up 307.3 yards per game. The next closest to them is Wagner, who has let up just 184. And that's wow. Hard when you're saying just 184 rushing yards, because that's still a lot of rushing. Robert Morris, above and beyond, has the worst rushing defense in the Northeast Conference.
And you get rid of that number against James Madison, and they're still allowing somewhere around 270 yards rushing a game, so nearly 100 yards more than the next opponent on the leaderboard. And yes, you have to factor in the James Madison stats, but still, I think that's even more disturbing, because they played Dayton, a team that lost to Duquesne, and Virginia State, who's a Division II opponent. And I think both you and I coming into this season thought the defense was going to be a strong suit.
As it typically is.
And looked at last year and pointing at some of the problems with the defense was, it was the second half.
It was because they were so worn down.
And exactly, because the offense had nothing going on last year. But this year, not saying that the offense has been incredible or so much better that like it alleviates some of that, because I don't want to go that far. But the defense, I think, even from that first quarter, that first drive against Dayton, Tucker Yinger bust went off for 63 yards, and we're like, oh boy, hold on here. And they just were getting gouged. And it's really been a lot of big plays, not even necessarily drives, but a lot of just big plays, like the DiNucci run. I think against Dayton, they had a couple touchdowns that were over 30 yards. I could think of one to the tight end.
They had three that were over 30 yards.
They had three that were over 30. Virginia State, I'd say that was more of a different game. While they certainly had their moments, but Virginia State was more of a 3 or 4 yards here, 6 or 7 there, something like that, kind of like getting you that way, I think.
And that was also a product of the weather.
Yes, and I think that's something that could be taken into account too.
Yeah, so just looking at this James Madison game, and again, it's James Madison, second team in the nation. They're a phenomenal football team who's very competitive. You're starting, you got a 39-yard touchdown pass, a 80-yard run, an 81-yard run. Those are three of the touchdowns. Two of them were 80-yard runs on both of them. The first one was a two-play 80-yard drive, and the second one was a two-play 83-yard drive. Those two combined drives took a minute. They led up 160 yards in a minute of possession time in back-to-back possessions. And again, at that point, they were already down. It went 52-0 and then 59-0. But it's still one of those things where you don't want to be letting up the big plays. And in a tight game, if you're letting up that many scores that quickly, that's how you lose football games. That's how you fall behind quickly, because that's what happened with Dayton. Was they were competing, they kept it close at the half. They were only down two scores.
At half, I believe they were down just a touchdown,
it
actually.
It was 28-14.
I thought it was 28-21. What? Anyways.
Doesn't matter. But, yeah, the problem is that, again, in that Dayton game, there were big scores, and they continued to score, whereas the offense, which was great in that game, and I think you'd agree with me on that, wasn't able to keep up just because they weren't allowed the luxury of getting a chance to get back into that game. And you're right, that's the big thing. So let's transition that into talking about this upcoming matchup against Bryan. So some things to note with the Bryan Bulldogs is they have the best scoring offense in the NEC. They get 33 points per game, 442.7 yards per game. The biggest part of that comes from their quarterback, Wilson Price, who is the best quarterback in the NEC. He throws almost 300 yards per game, 298 to be exact. And a lot of that action comes to wide receiver Gene Constant, who has 6 touchdowns already this season, 5 receiving touchdowns and 1 returning touchdown. They have some dynamic guys. They have Vincent Nisovic, Gene Constant, and Brandon Femiano, the running back, who are 5th, 6th, and 7th in the NEC in all-purpose yards per game. They're the only team in the NEC to have 3 players in the top 10. So they're a team that's going to come at you offensively. That is going to be a challenge for the Colonials.
My thoughts on that, with the good running back, the good wide receiver, and the really good quarterback, it doesn't sound good. I don't know if we've really seen the secondary of RMU tested that much so far this season, because they've been just beaten so badly on the ground that maybe we haven't been paying, or at least I haven't been paying attention as much to what the secondary has been doing. But when you're bringing in one of the best receivers in the conference and arguably the best quarterback in the conference, certainly statistically wise, he's the best at this juncture in time, and he's putting up 300 passing yards a game. And then not only that, the receiver Constant has a returning touchdown as well. So he's dynamic. That shows to me that you get him in open field, and that's going to be problems
for a team that already struggles to tackle in the open field.
I'm glad we're on the same page, Sam.
Yes, sir.
And then you have the running back, who also all-purpose yards racking those up as well. That shows me he could get it done catching out of the backfield, those little swing routes, or he's just going to beat you straight up on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly the thing. So the one thing I will say about this Bryant team is that they have the second worst pass defense. They allow about 242 yards per game. Robert Morris, on the other hand, is still in that ballpark. They allow about 218 yards per game via passing. So a little bit of a better pass defense. But like you said, that may be just because they're getting burned on the ground. Whereas Bryant is great on the ground, but again, they struggle in the passing game. So that is where you're hoping to see some really great quarterback play. And you saw it from Walker against Dayton. You saw it from Matthew Gonzalez, who's had big plays in both the Dayton game and the Virginia State game. So it's getting more of those wide receivers involved. Again, Bodman, Vecchio, guys that were involved earlier in the season. Even a guy like Taven Allison, who had that big touchdown last year against Dayton. Besides that, he's been relatively quiet. But again, a guy who's fast, who's dynamic. So spreading the field, maybe taking advantage of that.
The thing that I would am concerned about is, so let's say Bryant gets the ball and scores on their first possession. Excuse me. Robert Morris is still going to come out and try to implement their game plan, but let's say they have to punt on the first series or turn the ball over. My thing is, if they keep falling behind these opponents, it makes it that much more difficult to pass the ball because you're not using the run to set up the pass on the offensive end. And sure, teams will give you 4 yards a carry because they're not stacking the box concerned about the run because they're up by 2 touchdowns. And they don't think your offense is that much of a scoring threat to begin with. But like you said, touching upon spreading the ball around the offense, absolutely. Gonzalez has been great this season so far. He's been, like, what was he going into that James Madison game?
He was the third best tight end in the nation.
Third best tight end in the nation. And him down the seams in that, I don't know if it was a wheel route or whatever it was, that he scored that long touchdown against Virginia State. He's looked good. But then in that same Virginia State game, you have Vecchio, who I believe had something like 3 receptions for 70 yards and a touchdown against
Dayton
the previous week. I don't think he registered a catch.
He did not. Neither did Bowman, who also caught a touchdown. Bowman,
yeah. Once again, no catch. And Delfemini is another receiver that we talked about at the beginning of the year.
These earned starts. Delfemini was starting against Dayton.
But then again, have you seen much, if anything at all, from him?
Very little.
And not saying that they were going to see. Am I surprised what the offense did against James Madison? Not really. I don't think either any of us were going to expect a whole lot of great things. And you have that Virginia State game where the weather was just absolutely disgusting. So it's really hard, I think, at this juncture in time as well, to truly gauge the offense's production, because the only real contest against an opponent that is equal to your average run-of-the-mill NEC team, not saying that Virginia State is the same quality as these teams, but I think they're closer to the skill level of an NEC team than Dayton is or than James Madison certainly is. That game, you kind of have to put an asterisk between that, because throwing the ball in that game I don't think it was going to work. And they did very poor throwing the ball in that game as well. I believe, 3 interceptions in total that game?
Exactly, yeah.
So it's still hard to tell with the offense. And granted, it's still very early in the season. But one thing the offense needs to do is the offense has to keep the defense in the game. And I think that's why the defense possibly has been getting burned so much worse on the ground than through the air, because teams are in the lead. They don't need to pass the ball. They could just run the ball because they're trying to drain the clock.
So now that we've broken this down a little bit, before we go here today, what do you think the final score is going to be? What are your predictions on how this game is going to turn out? Is this going to be a Robert Morris win, or do you think Bryant gets this first NEC victory?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to say Bryant pulls off the victory here. I still have too many questions about this defense. I'd like to see a Robert Morris win, but looking at the games that Bryant has played so far, they have against New Haven, a 41-31 win. Against Stony Brook, they lost 50-21. And against Marist, am I saying that well?
Yeah, that is correct.
Or properly? 37-27 victory. So they're averaging right around 30 points a game against non-conference opponents. I don't know the caliber of these teams, but it looks like Stony Brook is a ranked team. It 23rd or 24th here. I think RMU is going to lose this one. I'm going to say, I think I'm going to have to go 56.
Ooh, big score.
To 21, I'm going to say.
All right. So kind of similar to that Dayton game is where you're going with there.
Yes.
So I'm going to run off some numbers and give you my prediction as to why I think Robert Morris is going to win.
All right.
All right. So their field goal kicker for the Bryan Bulldogs has gone just 1 for 5 this season. Bryan Bulldogs, as a result of that, have gone for fourth down more than any other team. Also, most likely as a result of that, the Bryan Bulldogs have the worst red zone offense in the conference. They're just 7-for-14 in scoring when they get to the red zone. So my thought here is, again, very similar to that Virginia State game where, again, we talked about it the week before. Virginia State would have gotten that win had they had a field goal kicker. Mm-hmm. Robert Morris, third best red zone defense in the Northeast Conference. They have prevented scores on 5 of the 18 attempts from their opponent. So they score about 72% of the time. In that same sense, Bryant defense, their bread and butter, getting to the quarterback. Colonial's bread and butter is they've only allowed 2 sacks all season, which is impressive considering they played James Madison, that the quarterbacks were still getting the ball off in time. The offensive line was doing a great job protecting them. And with that, Bryant has also allowed the most sacks in the conference. So, guys like Amir Fenwick, this is a game where you're going to see Fenwick really step that up. So, with that being said, I'm saying that the Colonials are going to win 31-28 because I believe that the offense is going to be able to produce, and I believe that Bryant is going to leave points on the field because of the fact that they can't convert in the red zone and kick field goals.
You make a lot of good points there, but...
But
my biggest fear is they're just going to keep getting torched on these long, long plays. Sure, Bryant isn't great in the red zone, and the Colonials have a very good red zone defense. But if you don't have to get in the red zone to score, I mean, that could spell trouble for Robert Morris.
I mean, that's fair. But again, if you're Robert Morris and you're looking at this, that's the game plan this week, is you're like, look, bend but don't break. That's got to be the mentality this week, is bend but don't break. They can get inside the 20, but as long as they're not getting that first down, they're not scoring, because that's what's going to happen. They're not going to be able to kick those field goals, or they're going to be forced to try it. They're not going to be as successful as they would like to be, and that's going to be a challenge for this team. So, and again, you know, to me, I want to see if even, you know, Bryant is a team that is, I mean, they've been in the red zone 14 times. So clearly, they're a team that gets down there a lot. Not necessarily through big plays. I mean, they've had special teams plays. They've had longer plays. But not as much as maybe a James Madison or a Dayton that is built on, you know, again, their running back play. That's why I think this matchup is more favorable for Robert Morris than any team they've faced so far, is that so much of the play is dependent on the quarterback.
Yeah, I agree with that, but when you have a quarterback like Bryant Wilson Price, he's one of the better I think you could easily say he's the best in the league, and certainly with what he's done so far, the numbers, I feel, back that up to an extent. I just don't know how much. I think you might be putting too much faith in the Colonials defense right now. That's what I'm thinking. I have very little confidence in that defense. And yes, you have the statistics to back it up, but from what I've seen with the poor tackling and stuff like that, maybe I'm wrong. I probably will be wrong. Bryant probably won't put up 56 points, but I think at the end of the day that the Colonials defense is going to have enough to hold Bryant to under, let's say, 30 points. I don't think they'll be able to hold Bryant under 30 points. Do I think the Colonials offense will be able to put up over 30 points? I'm not so sure. I feel confident in saying yes to that either. So just based on that premise right there, I mean, I think Bryant at the end of the day has the slight edge with their offensive weapons.
Well, Mike Shuley, I guess we're going to have to figure out. Game is Saturday at 1 p.m. at Bryant in Smithfield, Rhode Island. I would say be there, but that's about a 10-hour drive. So if you're really dedicated, go there. Go nuts. Rhode Island's a beautiful place.
Never been.
Till then, you're going to have to tune in and find out. That's all the time we have here on the Bobby Mo Football Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been Sam Anthony and Michael Shuley coming to you live from RMU Radio, RMU Century Media. And again, if you want to catch more RMU football coverage, RMU Century Media, RMU TV, Colonial Sports Center, Thursdays at 9 p.m. Sports Talk in the Berg, every other Wednesday at 5 p.m.
This Wednesday, though.
This Wednesday at 5 p.m. So again, these topics we talked about, As the game gets closer, you get to hear the breakdown. It's going to be Logan Carney, it's going to be Greg Sutton, and it's going to be Adam Aluso coming to you live on the desk. So please tune in. So thank you again. This has been the Bobby Mo Football Show, and we'll see you all next week.